professional performers and some non-professional performers that get together for anywhere from 1 to 2 weeks every year to do service in communities. Usually they go to underserved communities. This year, after the performance here, they'll be going up to the Blackfoot Nations in Canada, and they'll be putting shows on for elder homes and then helping to build gardens. So it gives you a flavor for what they do. And so these are professionals, one of which I met 10 years ago when she was here, Fiona Rose, and she's an eighth grade language arts and history teacher. And she's perhaps the best known for her one-woman band act in which she plays the ukulele and sings original songs while simultaneously operating a collection of 20 rainbow-colored bells with her feet. Now, that's demonstrative of a Chautauqua act. And she's an eighth grade teacher. I met her when she stayed at our house because this group stays with us when they come. Last year, or 10 years ago, there was 75 of them camped out all around our one-acre property. And this year there will be 40. And it is Bedlam. And this is they love coming here to Sandpoint because it's a vaudeville theater. And the Chautauqua was originally, the name comes from Chautauqua, New York, where now there is an institute devoted to that. And it started out with origins from the Lyceum.
Okay, expand on that, please.
Oh, that's great. See, 10 years ago, we did the same thing. What is the Lyceum? Okay, a Lyceum was where Aristotle would sit under this grove of trees and tell fascinating things to his constituency.
Wisdom.
Wisdom.
Yeah.
It was wisdom.
Wisdom and teaching.
And so in the turn of the century, there was a tremendous industrial revolution going on in the urban areas of America, and some of Aristotle's type of individuals decided that this message of what was happening in the industrial revolution, and it was going to spread over the years with the coming of railroads to the small underserved by news areas in America. So they got together these bands of individuals, lecturers, and some evangelist groups, and vaudevillians, and they traveled all through the United States during the first 30 years of the turn of the century. The high point was in 1924, when 40 million Americans saw over 10,000 Chautauqua productions throughout the United States. That's a lot of people entertained. And then radio, movies, and the Depression brought an end to this great epic. So in the 1970s, the counterculture movement, which had a lot of street performing, it was also New York, Chicago, the West Coast had a renaissance of street performing again. And at the Oregon Country Fair, which is a vast, beautiful fair, a countercultural event that started in the 70s, Karamazov Brothers, which is a famous juggling show, world famous juggling show, they put on a midnight show, and this is where performers came. There was Avner the Eccentric, a world famous clown, and many like him got together, and they decided to put this on the road, and as the Chautauqua, and doing service and doing shows in the small rural towns in the West Coast. And that became the new old-time Chautauqua, which has toured for 41 years since then.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah. And they were here, like you mentioned, in 2014.
The original Chautauqua actually had a performance here in Sandpoint in 2014. Uh-huh. Or actually, 1914 was the original Chautauqua.
Oh,
and
okay.
Then in 1985, the Chautauqua opened the Panda Theater.
Yeah, so this was when the Panda Theater had gone dark It was on the chopping block. The community rallied to save it.
Susan Harbuck.
Yeah.
And, Laurel Wagers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Gene Evans.
And those
three got together. They rallied the community. It's kind of an amazing story. You know,
yeah.
They had to raise $40,000 in like 60 days to make the down payment, which was a lot more money in those days.
A fabulous feat.
And they also had to get the local bank, Panhandle State Bank, had to say, okay, we'll take a chance on underwriting this mortgage with a band of volunteers that are just putting this thing together on the fly. Community pulled together. They bought the Panada, and the very first show they had in 1985 was it in June or something? I can't remember the date, actually.
Yeah.
But the very first show after the community acquired the Panada Theater was this
Chautauqua came there.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. And now,
did you perform in that yourself?
I did not perform in that one.
But Travis,
Spoon Boy. And it was so funny because we're all sitting there in the chairs. We're waiting for the show to start. This big deal, the Chautauqua was here. And in the background, the fighting instruments of Karma Marching Band was playing behind the curtain. And all of a sudden, the curtain slightly split at the bottom. And they shoved my son out, this little 8-year-old, on his chair with his little hat on. He played the spoons for a couple, you know.
And I was working at the Daily Beat at that time. I think I took a picture.
You did, yeah. There's a picture on the page, front page of the newspaper.
Of Travis the Spoon Boy out there performing, yeah.
Yeah, it was a great opener.
So you might see a spoon performance this time, but tell us about some of the other performers that will...
Well, to follow up on that remark, you're right. Artist, the Spoon Man, who was another... Very well known. He's been on the talk shows and so forth, and his performing art is going to be with the Chautauqua this year. He is the one that taught Travis to do the spoons. And he's, known for doing such feats as playing the spoons on his cheek and blowing a really fabulous song out of his nose on some kind of a flute. Another odd example of the Chautauqua performing. He'll be here. And there's going to be, of course, the Flying Karamasis, which were a world-famous juggling group, and the head of that, Paul McGid, who is also the head of the Chautauqua. And the original group, the Karamasis Brothers, is not all together, but there are guys that have come along over the years. So they will be performing their fabulous juggling. And Paul McGid is interesting to note because he has been running this thing for these 41 years. And he is the author of 9 theater plays, 4 screenplays, and a teleplay. He has received an Emmy and an Obie Award and has been nominated a London Oliver and Ovation Award. So it gives you a sense of the leadership of this group, and the
quality of the performance.
And the quality of the performance and what the people put on. So it's then they're going up this year. I think I mentioned up to the Blackfoot Nation to build gardens and do things. And in the past, they have been at the Quillette Tribe in La Plush. In 22, Olympia Lands Park and entertained a group of paraplegics. And so this year, which is so great, the money beyond their base fee collected at this show that we're doing on the 10th of June is all going to the Panada Restoration and Building Fund.
The Century Fund, as we call it.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So this is a fundraiser for the Panda. And as you mentioned, the money beyond their fee, which for...
is pretty small.
For 40 performers, it's very small. I think it's $3,000.
Yeah.
And I will mention that I do know that the Panda board members are all trying to sell some tickets in advance to let kids come to see this that wouldn't normally be able to do that. So if you want to support this beyond just coming to see it yourself, get a hold of a Panada board member or call the Panada up and say, hey, I'd like to buy a ticket for some kids to come and see the show.
Front row seats.
Yeah. Right up front.
The kids that might not have gotten into the show in the first place.
That wouldn't have gotten into the show because of the cost
right.
of it. And it is a fundraiser.
Yeah.
So the hope is that we can cover the performers' fees with these donated seats, donated tickets to let the kids come. And then beyond that, the money raised by the show will go into the Panda Century Fund.
Yep.
And the Panda, of course, was built in 1927. So it was built right about the time that Chautauquas and vaudeville was waning.
Peaking.
It had peaked and was actually starting to come down. What happened was the silent films came on really strong.
Yeah.
Actually, 1927 was the first year there was a talking picture.
Right.
It didn't play here, I don't think, but the first year or two, I think it was all just silent films because all the theaters were equipped only for silent film. They didn't have the audio stuff at that time. But at that period of time, these vaudevillian acts, prior to the silent movies, they were the big thing, as you mentioned. You know, millions of people would come to these acts as they toured around the country for entertainment because there wasn't any other entertainment. There wasn't even radio at that point, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. And the Depression was just, you know, coming on the heels of all that.
Oh, right, yeah.
People need some release. An added piece of their time here this year is going to be that at 11 o'clock on the 10th, that is the Saturday of the evening performance at 7, but at 11 a.m. in Farmer's Market in Farman Park, the group is going to parade in, and they're going to do a performance there of the Karma Fighting Instruments of the Karma Marching Band and do a half-hour riff there and then teach some of circus skills and things. Kids that want to learn how to juggle or do some acrobatic things or tightrope walk is going to happen in the fountain. So there's going to be, quite a... You get to meet and talk to the performers and get a feel of it before the evening's performance.
Oh, that's at 11 a.m.
Yeah.
Great. So come and see that. The parade is probably going to be a hoot. having seen similar sorts of parade, I haven't seen this particular band before, but having seen similar...
It's outrageous.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a circus act in motion.
Yeah.
And really fun. It would be fun for kids to participate and learn some of these skills, these circus skills you're talking about. So that's 11 o'clock at the Farmer's Market on June 10th. And when you're done with that, go over to the little Carnegie Hall at the Music Conservatory and celebrate community radio.
That's right.
They tie right in.
And I wanted to mention, Chris, you mentioned folks can buy extra tickets for these children that might not be able to come to the 7 o'clock performance at the Panada. And you can go to panada.org and find out more about those extra tickets or call 263-9191. I think it's 3.
Yes, 263-9191. That's the Panda number.
That's to buy an extra ticket. And as you said, Jerry, the after cost, which is only $3,000, all the funds go back to the Panada that's trying to raise a lot of funds right now. So that's a good thing to support.
Yeah. So... Well, is the Dancing Duck Man going to be in this parade on...
Probably. Probably.
I would hope that he's going to be there.
And Andorra the Blue Lady.
That's right.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
So if folks that happen to not be acquainted with it, that's Jerry's alter ego, the Dancing Duck Man. Of course, I knew him back when he was the Hooey Man.
The Hooey Man.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
And I have my original Hooey stick still. Maybe I'll bring it and mystify the...
That's right, yeah.
But how the Hooey stick works.
Yeah, Hooey up a little.
Every time you say Hooey, the propeller stops and goes the other way, yeah.
And I think most people my son, who's now 36, remembers the Hooey Man.
Yeah.
And everyone remembers. You just show up and there you would be walking with your ducks.
Yeah.
And so hopefully they're in good health and all is well.
They are. Billy, Silly, Tilly, and Sheriff John all send their regards to everyone.
Yeah.
So as a street performer yourself all these years, why do you do it?
It's fun.
I'm sure
it is fun.
Bringing a smile.
And I get paid for it frequently.
Yeah.
That's not an easy thing to come by.
Yeah.
So. And it is, you know, I had a tough youth, and my target audience is 7 and under. And so there's a whole, you know, piece of gratitude and that I get out of doing that.
Yeah. And so where did the Dancing Duck Man idea come from? The folks that may not have seen it, you have
Bruce the Duck is the main guy.
Okay.
He is now 50 years old.
But he doesn't look a day over like,
no, he
three,
doesn't.
Yeah.
No, still has his yeah. He can still peck, poop, dance, fly, do dog impressions, and tip his hat to four time.
Yeah. Longevity there.
Yeah.
So, but where did the idea come from for the Dancing Duck Man?
I had started out being the Hooey Man, and I had started to be a traveling performer, and one of my people that I got advice from was Utah Phillips, a famed folk singer of the Seeger era. Mm-hmm. And he came back from the Montreal Folk Festival. He said, "Hey, Jerry, look, there's this puppet thing that I got from there. I think you'll do good with this." And although it wasn't a duck, it was just this kind of odd-formed puppet, I said, "Okay." So I made a bunch of these, you know, in a little different shape and so forth. And I was I went over to Seattle to their festival they have in February, which is like the New Orleans thing they do. And it was raining a lot. And so I'm walking around with this puppet through the gutters and the water and stuff, selling hooeys. And the feet shrank up a little bit, and the neck shrank up a little bit, and it got more squatty like a duck. And
then it was made of cloth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then staying with friends, Potter Dave Hutchins and Joan, she said, "Well, he needs a hat." So she knit a hat for him and put a no nukes button on him, right? And all of a sudden, Bruce, you know, and I named him after Bruce Phillips, who was Utah Phillips, and Bruce was born. And ever since then, you know, Bruce has been my main guy.
Yeah. So, and now they're
now I've got a foursome.
And they're wood.
Yeah.
All wood. To clarify.
Yeah. All wood with little eyes and everything. Yeah.
I just want to remind our folks that are listening or have just tuned in, we're here at the KRFY Studios live for the morning show. Chris Bessler and myself are hosting, and we're here with Jerry Luther. We're talking about the new old Chautauqua thing.
New old time.
Time. Chautauqua. That's coming to the Panada on June 10th at 7. You can go to panada.org and find out about tickets, buy tickets for others, share. It's a fundraiser for the Panada. But Jerry, one question I had was I love the story about how your Hooey Man thing came about. But the question about could you describe what folks coming to this performance on Saturday, June 10th, would experience? How, in a kind of an encapsulated description of what is it really about? What would this performance look like?
In the original vaudeville days, you needed a 7-minute act that was real hot. That was the basis of vaudeville, is you had to have a hot 7 minutes. And the performers that are going to be coming on, there will be probably a little longer acts, but it comes from that kind of intensity and variety. There are aerialists, jugglers, singers. There are some just comedic acts that will be spontaneous and work off of other acts. They parlay on each other. They will have performances that they know. They'll have a show order, but then that show order may get mixed up. All of this, starting with a very dramatic, fabulous band that comes marching down the aisles and just raises you out of the seats, and during the entire performance will come on and accent all the acts that you see and the performances and the magic of vaudeville.
Yeah, it's just a ton of fun.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
And it's hard to stop smiling or grinning and hooting when you see these guys doing some stuff on the stage that's going to It's both entertaining and remarkable sometimes.
They will be pulling some people up from the audience to participate.
Yeah.
Yes.
There you go, Susie. Sit in the near the front so they can get you. Hey, you're a musician, we know.
Yeah, that's always fun. It sounds exciting. Just in your description, I could visualize, because we all kind of have an idea what a nonstop energy, it sounds like, and talented performances. So that's something to look forward to. Mm-hmm. June 10th at the Panada, 7 p.m. And at the Farmer's Market during the day at 11, starting at 11. A little taste, so you could still probably get tickets at that point, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Jerry Luther, the sponsor for this, anything else you want to throw out and make sure that we mention for folks to know about the new old-time Chautauqua that's coming June 10th?
Well, it's good for the soul, and it's good for the people that they serve. And it is a worthwhile endeavor, something from the past that you end up describing what you just went and saw to your grandmother. And she'd go, oh, yeah, I remember that.
yeah.
That's perfect. Something you could describe to your grandmother because you're impressed. And it sounds like a lot of fun. And it's been 10 years since you came and told us about it the first time. That's amazing.
Appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah, we mentioned that in 2014, the Chautauqua was here at the Canada again. So
it was.
This is really, the third time that we've had the Chautauqua at Canada. Yeah.
And really, a thank you to you and your partner, Becky, for hosting. That's a big deal. I can't imagine 75 people on that little plot of land you have out there in Garfield Bay, but... That must have been really fun, too. So now it's going to be 40. They're going to stay with you again.
Yep. And they'll be practicing singing in our garage, which is very harmonic. We'll love it.
Okay. Yeah, it sounds like it. That part will be fun, too.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Tell us about it.
Yeah.